Hello, listeners. Today is Wednesday, January 18th. Welcome to Behind the Numbers, Reimagining Retail, an e-marketer podcast. This is the show where we talk about how retail collides with every part of our lives. I'm your host, Sarah Lebo. In today's episode, Ram Iyer, Worldwide Director of Digital Strategy and E-Commerce for Microsoft, joins our principal analyst, Andrew Lipsman, for a conversation about omnichannel and mobile commerce, the consumer path to purchase, the metaverse, and more. Let's tune in now to the conversation between Andrew and Ram.
Well, joining me on Reimagining Retail today is Ram Iyer, a leadership team member of the Worldwide Consumer Channel and Partner Marketing Team as part of the consumer side of Microsoft's business. Ram, thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Andrew, and it's a pleasure and honor. This is my first podcast, so I'm really excited to spend time with you.
Yeah, well, I've been following your content and insights for years, so I'm glad to be able to speak across the audio medium. So why don't we kick off first? Can you just give us a quick overview of the Microsoft consumer business and some of the key product brands that are under your purview?
Yeah, a nice way to look at our consumer business, Andrew, is through the eyes of the consumer. You know, the way we've organized Microsoft is now under solution areas. So we look at our business through solution areas. So the two solution areas that fall within the realm of the consumer business are modern life and gaming. Within modern life, when you look at the products which are there, it's the Windows PCs, it's Surface, which is our own line of PCs. And then Microsoft 365 subscription, which is all about, you know, all the apps, we love Word, Excel, PowerPoint. And then when we get into the world of gaming, it's all about the Xbox consoles and Game Pass, which is our Netflix of games that we offer to our consumers.
And you're also responsible for accelerating Microsoft's digital strategy and driving e-commerce growth specifically across these product groups. So maybe that's a good place for us to start our conversation today. Why don't we talk about what you're seeing in digital commerce in the market today? It's obviously been a very dynamic period over the last couple of years, and here we are entering 2023. Where are we at?
No, I think it's the best place to start again is with the consumer, right? So when we have seen the pandemic and the after effects of the pandemic, one of the biggest after effects of the pandemic has been that consumers have become more comfortable with digital and technology. Clearly, we see that trend, which is there, not just across work or life, but also the way they shop. And the other trend which you see is that consumers shop across multiple channels. So the customer journey is constantly evolving and it's non-linear. Now, when you bring these two pieces together, digital can really become this glue that can help us connect across all these channels to create what I call as an omni-channel experience, which is a seamless experience that can help to reach consumers where they are during various stages of the customer journey. So in my mind, I think the fundamental shift that we have to all acknowledge is that shift from being channel-centric in our approach to really putting the customer at the center and having that omni-channel experience at the heart of conversation for shoppers.
So you're specifically in the business of marketing products, right? And there are some familiar names to folks like Xbox and Surface. And those are the products that you're trying to get in the hands of these consumers from digital touch points. What are the trends that you're seeing in how consumers are shopping across these channels, purchasing across these channels? Is there anything that's kind of interesting in terms of the current growth of the market and where that's coming from?
Yeah, I think what we kind of see is that consumers are typically not shopping across one channel. So when we look at Windows PCs, for example, we see 60% of our customers shop across both in-store and online before they make their final purchase. There's hardly any consumers who are just going just in-store and really buying products. The other interesting trend that we see is the evolution of discovery of products through social commerce, because that's an up and emerging area which is coming in. Allied and connected to it is the entire space, which is live commerce, which is, you know, kind of connected to the social commerce piece. So the entire evolution of the landscape, in my mind, is moving beyond a singular way of shopping to a connected way of shopping, which happens across multiple channels.
So we're going to talk a bit more about social commerce in just a few moments, but I think a big part of that is the rise of mobile as, you know, a primary channel, I mean, where people are spending the vast majority of their time online these days. So it in the context of retail, it's the majority of overall e-commerce shopping. But desktop is still where transactions predominantly happen.
That's right.
There's about a 60-40 advantage overall in favor of desktop in terms of conversion. And I can imagine in your world, it's an even more critical channel because you're dealing with a lot of higher consideration, higher ticket purchases of things like computers and Xbox consoles. So what can you tell me about the role that mobile is playing in your space at this moment?
Yeah, I think very well said. And I think mobile is an integral part of the shopping experience, especially when it comes to apps, right? Most of our retailers have their apps and they curate personalized experience for shoppers through their apps because the apps creates the opportunity to build that personalized experience for shoppers. So mobile is really fundamental in the journey when it comes to really meeting customers where they are. Now, when we look at mobile experiences, I think one of the areas which we have seen a lot of success is in terms of how we are able to really serve personalized content to shoppers at the moment of purchase. It could be in the form of augmented reality experiences that customers would require as a part of the shopping experience. It could be even integrated experiences that we could serve to shoppers while they are in store. So when they are, you know, looking at a product and they want to scan a QR code to really get a demo of an experience or a feature which is there, mobile becomes a very, very critical part of that journey as a part of that experience. So we fundamentally believe that mobile is an integral part of the journey. Now, you're totally right in saying that mobile is not the place perhaps where transactions happen. But when it comes to games, you know, that's an area where we do see an opportunity for mobile to become a very, very interesting part of the e-commerce opportunity, which you talk about. You know, it's almost 40% of the total e-commerce sales. It's growing at a 20% clip. So it's expected to become a significant part of the overall e-commerce over a period of time. So I do see that opportunity as an interesting opportunity for us to build on.
Yeah, right. It all depends on the product. That makes a lot more sense. Games on average, a lower ticket price, digital enablement of online games. So you can see how mobile is an easier sale in that context. Whereas if somebody's, I don't know, configuring a computer and they have to go through a bunch of different specs, maybe that's a more complex path to purchase that kind of leans into desktop a bit more.
That's right. Yeah, I think you said it well.
So consumer electronics and computers as a category, according to our latest estimates, it's actually the largest overall e-commerce category. It's neck and neck with apparel and accessories, though. The two categories are almost the same size, and they kind of go back and forth from quarter to quarter, year to year. But within the context of this huge category online, 50% of e-commerce category sales are happening on Amazon. Amazon looms large, right, in all of e-commerce and particularly in this category. So how do you think about Amazon as a sales and marketing channel?
Yeah, Amazon is really, really interesting for us. You know, I think our data shows that 63% of consumers start their PC purchases surge on Amazon. So as much as we look upon Amazon as a sales platform, I think it's also important to acknowledge that Amazon has a bigger role to play as a product matchmaking platform to enable discovery of products for shoppers. So clearly, we look at Amazon as from that particular lens. The other interesting insight that we have is that when consumers are in the store looking for products, guess where they go first to look at reviews? They go to Amazon to validate whether the ratings and the reviews of the product is really good or to check prices. You know, those are the two things which consumers do while they're actually in the buying moment in the store. So Amazon has a bigger role to play, as you rightly said, Andrew. It's not just a sales engine, it's a sales and marketing engine for us. So we clearly look at Amazon from that perspective.
Yeah, I mean, the ratings and reviews, you mentioned that comes up time and time again. It's such a key component in the path to purchase. And again, it probably plays an even bigger role in the high consideration purchase. You want to feel confident that what you're going to buy is a product that works for other people too. So I think that is such an interesting point and one that I'm thinking also about in the context of how people are using ratings and reviews, as you mentioned, in the store. They're doing it on phones, but maybe they'll be doing it through other screens too. So that's something we'll come back to in just a bit as well. But let's shift gears since you already teed up the conversation to social commerce. This is really one of the most interesting areas of e-commerce today. We've been talking about it for a while, and I think we've looked at China as a leading market. I mean, that social commerce market has gotten just massive, growing really, really fast and lots of key players in that. In the US, it's a more modest percentage of e-commerce, around 7% or so, but we're forecasting it to grow about 30% this year to about $69 billion in sales. So that's a decent sized market growing at a really, really healthy clip. Microsoft's consumer brands, I have found interesting, have a really impressive presence across social media channels. I'm sure that is in big part due to the efforts of your teams. In a report last year, I actually used some data from Shareably, and they had a ranking of the top retail brands across social media platforms. And among the top 25, there were actually three Microsoft brands, which included Windows and Xbox at number 13 and number 14, respectively, with a monthly audience of about 50 million people. So that's a pretty significant social presence. How do you think about social media and using that to drive brand awareness and e-commerce sales?
Yeah, I think some great stats there, Andrew. Thank you for ratifying the importance of social in the overall context of e-commerce as well. I would say that, social is really the new playground for shoppers, because this is where you can actually meet the Gen Zs and the millennials. This is where they actually spend their time. And given that they spend time there, it perhaps is the most interesting space for us to enable discovery of products. Now, with many of the social platforms, I think what we are clearly seeing is this evolution from just being a medium for driving awareness to really enabling some of those commerce transactions. Now, it's absolutely, I think we don't do too many transactions of surface product, which would be directly done through a social channel. But I think the role that social plays in terms of discovery and inspiration for shoppers to really show and romance some of our product features, tell product stories and truths in a very immersive and a compelling way, and also in a very authentic manner, I think that role is unparalleled. There is no other medium that enables us to deliver that kind of storytelling. So we are really doubling down on social from that perspective.
Well, let's talk about the platform that everyone's talking about right now in social commerce, which is TikTok. That's actually the big driver that we've outlined is driving that 30% growth this coming year. So I'm curious, how do you think about using TikTok to drive sales, right? You mentioned that it can lend itself well to authenticity. Consumers, TikTok users tend to actually like some consumer content and brand and product impressions. But there's also the challenge, I think, of cracking the code and getting attention. How do you think about getting attention and mind share within the context of TikTok?
Yeah, I think so. TikTok's a really interesting platform. Personally, I think I spend almost, I was just looking at my stats, and I was spending almost 2 hours a day on TikTok. It's kind of replaced a TV for me from an entertainment perspective. So I kind of go for my entertainment on TikTok. And I think the beauty of TikTok is that it's an open-ended browsing platform. It kind of just helps you discover products very, very naturally. The algorithm which you spoke about, Andrew, the secret code of the algorithm no one knows, but every time I see stuff on For You, it kind of keeps serving me more content, which I really love to listen. I love Bollywood. I like the music. So I get more content on Bollywood all the time I see it. So there is something which is intuitive that is really happening, which makes TikTok a very, very unique. And the other interesting feature is that visualization and stopping power, just, given the fact that it's all a visual, short, snappy content. Music is magic, as we know on TikTok. So it catches the attention of the shoppers. So there's so much that happens within that space that it is almost engaging, and it creates that stopping power for you to just be there in the medium. And you sometimes lose track of time. I think that's this sometimes, as my wife has to come and remind me literally and say, hey, what are you doing? You're just stuck on this mobile phone and on TikTok. So personally, I think we do believe TikTok is a very, very interesting opportunity. I see a great opportunity in TikTok, really leaning on creators. We believe that that's really the way to go. The other interesting shift that we have really made from a TikTok perspective is to move away from, programmatic content calendars to really catch the trend, because you have to be on trends when it comes to TikTok. You have to use the trend discovery, which is available within TikTok, to really catch that trend and be a part of that trend. So it's more serendipity in that sense, as opposed to more programmed way of working. And also we have to be locally relevant, in the sense that it's not very polished, ads that you would typically create. It's very lo-fi and it's very authentic. I think that's what resonates with customers, because people kind of relate to that kind of storytelling and find that that's much more real.
Now, TikTok is really an entertainment medium and gaming is an entertainment medium. So it seems like that type of content would work pretty well naturally. You have a lot of, you know, gaming loyalists that probably are great at amplifying that content. What struck me as really interesting is there's some great TikTok content around Microsoft Office products.
Yes.
And people showing like Excel hacks, which, you know, might sound a little bit nerdy. I use Excel all the time. I've learned some interesting things there. Has that surprised you at all that it can work really well when a creator just taps into something that other people may be doing every day, but isn't always thought of as entertainment content?
Such a great point. I think, you know, Miss Excel, Kate Norton, she's the one who's like, she's got over close to 1 million followers now on TikTok. And the way she does her content to make Excel fun and interesting, and her infectious passion, you know, it just comes through when she kind of tells her stories to all the consumers. I think that's the reason that she's got such a great following. And, you know, that's a great case study for us to really try and see how we can really use it, not just to make it educational and informational, but do it in a format which is fun, light, and entertaining as well. So I really like that angle which you bring in, Andrew, in terms of really looking at TikTok as a medium to sometimes even, I don't know, at some day, maybe, you know, we can even romance some of our commercial products, which are, you know, so complex, and tell those stories in a very simple manner using the power of some of these social mediums.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, right? Maybe I'm not going to watch an Excel video and go out and buy a Microsoft computer that day,
yeah.
Right? So in shortening the path to purchase, maybe it doesn't work that way. But it will engage users. And I will say, as a regular Excel user, and that is one of my primary use cases on my computer, it's important to me. And so it makes me a more engaged consumer. And guess what? I was sent a Mac from work at one point, and I sent it right back. And I said, give me Windows because I can't use Excel on a Mac very well. That was it for me. So I'm a loyal Windows user because of that.
Well, thank you for the love, Andrew. I must say that, you know, we love you and we love Windows and we love Excel too. So, you know, I appreciate you kind of being a super fan of our Windows base. And
I wasn't paid to do that. Anybody who knows me knows how much I am a loyalist to Windows products in the office setting, for sure. All right, after a quick break, we're going to chat about the most interesting trends in the future of retail.
Commerce marketers today are under incredible pressure to deliver results. The timely intelligence, insights, and data delivered in eMarketer's Retail Daily newsletter gives marketers the tools they need to react and succeed. This daily newsletter features deep coverage on how top brands are handling their marketing, advertising, customer engagement, and more. And unlike other newsletters, we pair our insights on recent news with the research, analysis, and forecasting that sets eMarketer and Insider Intelligence apart. Subscribe to Retail Daily today.
And we are back from break, here to talk about some future of retail topics. I love thinking about the future of retail, and I think Microsoft has a big role to play in that future. So one of the key trends, I've been calling it a mega trend for 2023, is the digitization of the store. And Microsoft, to me, is one of the key players, if not the key player, in that trend. Which aspects of store digitization do you find most interesting in thinking about how you market and merchandise your products in the consumer business?
Yeah, I think, you know, some of the very simple use cases, which I kind of think about, is let's start with the basics, right? Fact ads. These are simple things where you have to display prices of products. And one of the challenges that you have with the brick and mortar environment today, they compete with online. And so you have to do real-time price match of your prices if you want to be competitive. And we see that digital fact tags is now almost a reality, besides the other benefits in terms of, you know, not having to use paper, sustainability, and, you know, just becoming much more conscious of the environment as well. It just is a super efficient process. You can manage everything through the power of the cloud, because you can actually use cloud, you can actually use the price matching system, and you can actually connect these dots to really do it in a very seamless way. So that's a very simple kind of a use case. The other interesting space where we are seeing a lot of value coming is in terms of digital storytelling with retail demo experiences. So we clearly see within the retail environment, we have to showcase and tell stories to consumers about retail demo experiences. And so that's another area where we clearly see how we could use the cloud, distribute content and make it live and available at the point and the moment of purchase for our shoppers to really tell those immersive stories. The Uber trend, which we also see here from the digitization of the store, is the power of using the data that's available within the retail ecosystem. And this is where I think the entire emergence of the retail media network becomes so critical. And we see the big opportunity of really that evolution that's happening. It's how do you use the data that's available with our retailers, because they are sitting on a gold mine of data with customer and their shopping data and their history. How can we use that in a very optimized way to really deliver the right content at the right moment, at the right time in the journey to shoppers to really maximize the impact from a marketing investment standpoint? So I feel like those are the three big pieces which come to my mind. But I'm curious to get your thoughts as well, Andrew, on this one, because I think this is a topic which I read a lot. I think this is something which is very close to your heart, as you said. So I'm curious to know more from you.
Yeah, well, I just think it's going to be transformative, but you hit on some of the key pieces. I mean, I'll rewind a bit to how I first kind of became aware of where Microsoft was going in store digitization. I think it was maybe at the NRF conference 4 or 5 years ago, and it was seeing digital shelf signage for dynamic pricing. And at the moment, I was just like, I'd never thought about the potential that could happen with real-time pricing, dynamic pricing in the store and digital shelving, what that could mean in terms of how you could deliver coupons or other marketing. So that was the first thing that put my antenna up. I've been covering a lot on retail media over the past couple of years and seeing in-store digital signage and thinking through what that means in terms of how products can be marketed and merchandised, the implications are really significant. And then data, I mean, you mentioned that this is where things, I think, start to get really exciting, which is we are going to, you know, the store has always been analog. And if you think about how e-commerce over the years has gotten optimized around the path to purchase, right? You get somebody, you drive traffic to the site, and then you kind of follow them through the funnel until they may or may not convert on that product. We've never had that sort of insight and data for what the path to purchase looks like in store. And we're starting to see that possibility now. So I'm really excited about what that means and how data is going to transform the way that we configure stores and think about consumers and make sure that we're delivering relevant messages, all of that stuff. Super, super exciting. And, you know, we're just at the earliest days. So I think there's a lot of innovation to come.
Yeah, totally agree. I think, and especially in the economic times that we live in, where we have to do more with less, right? And if you really ask from a marketing perspective, which the holy grail of marketing for us has always been all about attribution and incrementality. And if you have to really address these two challenges, in my view, the best way to do it is to really, you know, harness the power of retail media networks, because they're not yet as sophisticated as they need to be, but I do believe they are much better in terms of marketing investments when you compare to some of the other areas that we could potentially invest in.
Attribution and incrementality is speaking my language, right? Retail media has, the reason why it's taken off the way it has is because of the data and the ability to measure impact. And we're not yet really measuring the impact of what's happening in the store. And I like to call that the other 85%
yes.
of retail sales, right? That's a huge pool of consumer spending that we just haven't optimized in any form or fashion or meaningful form or fashion yet. So that's why I call it a mega trend, because it's going to take a little while to fully get off the ground. But as it grows and gets bigger, again, I think we have something that transforms the whole consumer economy. Let's finish up in talking about maybe the most futuristic trend, which is the metaverse. Now, I've said in the past, I'm not fully convinced that it will ever be the successor to the mobile internet. That was kind of the initial frame that came out of Mark Zuckerberg and Meta in the early days of this conversation. But there's no doubt there's going to be some really interesting applications to emerge from what we think of as the metaverse. We're already seeing, you know, innovation in virtual reality, augmented reality. What are the applications in the metaverse that you find most interesting? And then maybe more specifically, how do you think brands and retailers are likely to use the metaverse in the future?
Yeah, I think I think it's a loaded subject. We can spend the entire hour talking about the metaverse. And, I think the way I look at it as a metaphor is to just kind of think about it as how we looked at AI and ML a few years ago. You know, we were talking, what's AI, what's ML? But then we suddenly started moving to use cases and trying to see applications of how you could use AI and how you could use ML. So if I have to just simply put together a definition for the metaverse, it's all about really creating those persistent 3D experiences where you can, you know, really kind of get people immersed into the space and have that kind of an experience. So that's like a very simplistic view of how I look at the metaverse. Now, when we demystify the metaverse, essentially we can look at it from three layers. You know, there's a consumer metaverse, which is all about gaming. It's all about, you know, the experience that we could offer in retail. Then there is the enterprise metaverse. This is where we use the, you know, like you and I are having a conversation now, and we could actually use the power of the Meta Quest, which is the partnership we have with Facebook. And you can actually create an immersive experience where you can actually be sitting almost side by side and having that conversation. So that's the enterprise part of the metaverse where you can use the power of Teams. And then we have the industrial metaverse. This is where, you know, the entire IoT, the ability to connect all the devices to the cloud and therefore be able to really use the power of digital twins, where you can actually really simulate what's really happening on a factory floor into a virtual environment to really troubleshoot and find problems or even optimize scenarios as possible. So those are the three use cases of the metaverse, which is there. Now, coming to your question on the consumer metaverse, because that's the area which we are centered from a retail perspective, I think our approach has been of a test and learn. We want to dip our toes. We want to just get understanding, you know, what are the use case scenarios that are possible. So some of the areas which we are thinking about is, you know, as consumers come to our sites and we have them do digital reservations, are they comfortable, you know, becoming an avatar and having that conversation with customers? So those are the little baby steps that we are taking. But I am in your camp. I think this is going to take some time for us to evolve. And the industrial and the enterprise are the ones where we see much better traction. The consumer metaverse is going to have a little bit of a runway, and we have to test and learn as we kind of build for the future.
Yeah, you mentioned a few interesting points there. The frame that resonates the most for me is gaming. I feel like maybe jumping to saying the successor to the mobile internet may not have been the best frame. But when I think of it as the natural evolution of gaming, which is an immersive environment, that's the promise of the metaverse. It is going to get more interesting. I keep talking about the use case of, you know, being able to virtually attend in three dimensions a sporting event. I mean, that seems really cool. Those are the environments, but I don't see it as something that's going to happen every day, like the way that I access the mobile internet. Industrial applications, though, that also, I think, is probably underappreciated. The ability to layer in augmented reality for industrial applications, as you say, on the factory floor, huge part of the economy and one that certainly could be enhanced by some of these applications. So those are the ones that really do excite me. And it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I still, in terms of like, what does retail in the metaverse look like? That one, I agree with the test and learn approach, because right now I shrug. I don't know. I don't know what it'll look like.
Yes. No, well said. I think gaming is really an interesting opportunity. Gaming experiences are a ripe use case for us to really kind of go into, because you can actually get immersed into the space and actually have that rich gaming experience. So I am in alignment here, Andrew. Like, I'm in your camp.
Yeah, well, you know, it's an exciting time. I think there's a lot of interesting stuff that's happening in commerce and digital today. And so that you give us a lot to think about over the next couple of years. But I love future casting too, with you thinking about the digitization of the store and what happens over the next decade and, you know, all the potential in the metaverse and how that ultimately manifests. So, Ram, we have covered a tremendous amount of ground in this conversation. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. So thank you so much for joining us and sharing your insights.
Likewise, I think this morning kind of close in a moment of gratitude, Andrew, just for the work you do in Insider Intelligence. I'm a big fan of your work. It adds tremendous value to the community as well, because, you know, sometimes it's you have to zoom out to zoom in the business, and you have to look at connected trends. So just a huge thank you. And I love this conversation. It did open a few eyes for me in terms of looking at things from a new perspective as well. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate that very much. And yes, this is a great conversation. We'll have to do it again sometime soon.
Absolutely. Looking forward to that.
Thank you to Andrew and Ram for that conversation. Please give us a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts, and follow us on Instagram at behindthenumbers_podcast. Thank you, listeners, and to our producer, Victoria, who edits with the help of her old pal, Clippy. We'll be back next Wednesday with another episode of Reimagining Retail, an eMarketer podcast. And tomorrow, join Marcus for another episode of the Behind the Numbers Daily.